Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Happy Friday to you. It is Sports Daily, and we are wrapping up the sports weekend. Headed into the sports weekend, where we're going to get a lot of football action in the NFL. We are through the quarterfinals of the CFP, and we get college basketball to talk about, including a conference opener tonight for the Shockers of Wichita State, and game two of the Big 12 schedules for KU and K-State. Pay attention to the weather out there, everybody. We know K-State women, for instance, if you were planning on heading up to Manhattan to watch that incredible team, that has been moved. So just eyes and ears alert, as we're going to get some ice and some snow all across the state this weekend. But we'll be here to preview all of it. We're glad you're with us. It's Jacob Albracht, Tommy Kester, Jad Chambers producing for us. The IHOP hotline is open for you at 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP, which is the official breakfast partner of Xbox. Come in and try the decadent, fully loaded French toast only at IHOP, and we have it ready for you to chime in. You can also chime in on our video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X, as always. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. Thanks for listening to us on the Odyssey app, and you can leave us your voice messages there on the Odyssey app as well. A lot to get to today. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Hey, happy Friday. Good to see you today. It's kind of like the last hurrah, at least for, you know, when we're in usually doing the show live. We're moving to morning drive on Monday, so excited about that, and looking forward to jumping right in.
Yeah, it'll be a blast. So if you haven't heard that news, we are going to grow the show two more hours and come at you 2 hours earlier, from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. So those hours now filled by us, those are drive time hours in the business. We're excited to have those. And we will take those. And then, you know, for everybody that listens to us right now, we're part of your radio routine. Nothing changes. You'll still catch us from 9 to 11. No problem. If you're watching us on the video stream right now, take a minute here. Tommy is on the other side of the board. So there'll be a lot of things behind the scenes as we're making this transition that we're trying to get the hang of. So bear with us as we do that. But one thing I'd be remiss if I didn't say is the worst part about the move, our least favorite part about the move, is that Jad Chambers won't be sitting where Tommy's sitting right now. He's over with Steve and Ted during those hours, so he won't be, you know, gone. He'll be right down the hall as we, you know, panic and things catch on fire to come help us out. But he won't be sitting there chiming in, and we're really sad about that. By far, our least favorite thing. So thank you to Jad.
Well,
as Tommy is. Oh, Jad's got a
microphone. Yeah, so hey, we're actually switched. So Jad is usually where I am, and then vice versa. So we've got him switched.
Yeah, I'm sitting right over here, and just where Tommy would usually sit. Actually, I'm getting this seat set up, and then going to move over and get Paul set up. But and I'll still be helping you guys out behind the scenes, doing some things like helping Tommy once your show is going. I'll be helping Tommy behind the scenes, so I'll still be working and doing a lot of work for Sports Daily. It's just you won't really hear me during the show at all.
Yeah,
anymore.
you'll be the artist behind the podcast version of the show.
That's right.
Every day.
That's
you'll put all that together like you normally do. So, still a very integral part of Sports Daily.
And the credit line would still say produced by
Jad
Chambers, right? If that part doesn't change. But as far as the on-air piece, you've got very important things you're doing over at Steve and Ted, and I would just, you know, advocate for some sort of panic button for Tommy to start buzzing when things aren't going correctly, to run down the hall and help us out. But
let's be real. It's going to be produced by Jad Chambers, screwed up by Tommy Kester. Like, I'm going to screw the show up, then Jad's going to come in and fix it every day.
I was going to give you co-production credit.
You don't have to give me any kind of credit, Jad.
Yeah, we don't need any of that.
I think I'd rather you had co-production credit. That way we can get away with saying, well, Tommy was the one that...
You just want to blame me for all the issues.
Yeah, more or less. And I've already talked with Ted Woodward over there, and he has been more than willing to take over for me for just, you know, a little bit if I need to come over here and, you know, get something going
fix
right.
Fix something.
Yeah.
Yes, that is correct. Jad is basically an engineer at the same time as he is a producer, which in our business is the guy that fixes things. And You know, we promise, if Jad, if you put that hat on, we promise to always try to turn it off and turn it back on again first before we call you. We'll save everybody that step.
That's we appreciate
the old joke
that.
In
Thanks.
The business is is the engineer's always going to ask you that question first. Well, did you try turning it off and turning it back on again? Yes, we did. And it's on fire. I don't think that's going to help. It'll be fun. We love it. And there's going to be a lot of, look, we have hard breaks now. Like there's going to be a little, you do something the same way for a decade and things change and it'll take these old dogs a few minutes to learn the new tricks, but we're doing that on Monday.
By the way, it's funny when we have those hard breaks hit and the music is playing, you know, it used to be you and I could have a conversation and kind of know like, hey, we need to take a break here soon. We'll get out of our conversation. Now we don't have a choice. So if you hear the music playing, that means that we've got to go to break and there's a countdown. And it's kind of funny because I know Jacob, you can't see Jad, but Jad has been like a couple times with me yesterday holding his fingers up like counting down the seconds we have left until we go to break. I might have to do that for you once we actually start with all of this on Monday.
We will get the hang of it. I have done plenty of television shows with hard breaks. It's just never been this show, right? And we have one hard break and it's like the very end of the show typically. We don't even have that anymore. So look, we're going to get the hang of it. And when people tell us to be quiet, we'll be quiet. And if we cut you off, we apologize. There's good reason for that. It's because either we will or a commercial will. So a lot of things that are going to change on Monday. We are really excited about it, though. It is it is a really good thing for KFH. It's a really good thing for Sports Daily because our goal is to always grow this show and expand this show and do everything we can to help you listen on the podcast and bring in great insiders to help us get into, the stories and the content that you want to hear about. And that stuff's all really important to us. So moving now and growing by 2 hours and getting into a window where we think we can really hit a new audience who's driving to work every day or whatever it is that you're doing, driving to school, whatever, that's going to be really exciting for the show. And again, that happens on Monday. So on Monday, you'll hear us at 7 o'clock and we will go on the air. And if you, again, if you listen to us from 9 to 11, nothing changes for you. We're still there from 9 to 11. So it really is just a growth of the show and we're excited to do it. And there's a full lineup change coming on KFH, by the way, not just us, that we're also excited about. Jim Rome is sliding to later in the afternoons. You'll get Bob and Jeff now again in afternoon drive, which I know a lot of people are really excited about.
How about Rich Eisen, by the way? He's taken Jim Rome's regular slot from 11 to 2. Then Jim Rome comes on from 2 to 5. I've been a huge Rich Eisen fan for a long time.
You and good.
I mean, we grew up on Rich Eisen on SportsCenter, when we were younger. And, of course, now he's got, his syndicated national radio show that's great, NFL Network, all the different things that he does. So that's a huge addition for KFH as well.
Yeah, and Eisen is his show. I listened to his show years ago every day, and it's really good. And he's entertaining. He's as entertaining as he was on TV. So if you haven't heard that, I think you'll be excited about that too. Rick asked us on YouTube about the 9 to 11. So yes, it is a replay, Rick, but it is by design keeping the show as big as it can be. Who knows what the future holds, but initially that's what we're going to do. Is keep things the way they are for our current audience and then grow to a new audience at the same time. So that's the goal there. To answer that question, I know he's asked that a couple of times and meant to answer that yesterday and didn't have a chance, but we'll have it all. All right, let's take a break. We got tons to get to today. We'll preview the football weekend. We'll preview the Shockers tonight. But when we return, CFP trend continues. The teams with buys struggle. Notre Dame takes down Georgia. We'll talk about it next. Hey, thank you, Prairie Fire Coffee, for keeping us cooled up each morning here on KFH and at all the Odyssey studios. Appreciate them and their delicious coffee. Welcome back in Sports Daily. It's Jacob Albrock. It's Tommy Caster. Jad Chambers, not in his normal chair, but with us today before we make a big transition on Monday. We're glad to be here with you. It's going to be exciting. On Monday, it's exciting today, though. Tommy, a prediction comes true for me, and it's that all the teams that hadn't played football in like a month would really struggle, and they all did. Arizona State was the lone team to find success, but it took them essentially until the fourth quarter to find it. And so, look, this is something we've got to look at as the tournament moves forward, and as we learn how to best do this, is what do we do about that? Because that is clearly going to be an issue moving forward. Would you like to have the bye? Of course you would, because you don't have to play the other game to advance to that round. But at the same time, obviously and pretty clearly, it has a negative impact on things, as most it does in most sports. Like, we see this all the time. So we got to think about that as we look at the tournament. But here's the good thing with it. Is you get a scenario now where if you look at the rankings of the CFP and where teams ended, Tommy, and we go through this all the time, and again, there it's not, you know, we got to look at it through the lens of knowing the teams that got the byes struggled to some degree, right? But if we look at the final CFP rankings and where things ended and how they were seeded out. And, you know, again, it's a bit confusing, but the final rankings of the CFP, you've got teams that wouldn't have been in there to begin with, right? We've got teams. Had we done this the old way, you would have had Oregon, you would have had Georgia. Perhaps you would have had Boise State. You probably would not have. You'd have had Arizona State. If we go back and look at the rankings before the final seeding, you would have had Texas and Penn State be there. Oregon, Georgia would have, you know, been out. So you're seeing, you know, if you want to look at it that way, you're seeing Notre Dame and Ohio State, who would not have been in, get in. So, you know, however you want to slice it, we saw teams that perhaps wouldn't have a chance to be there. However heavily we want to weight the byes and all these things. But my point is, this is going to invite the best scenario to try, once we get it all right, to get the best team in there. Ohio State is the perfect example, right? That's a team that we felt like all year could be the best team in the country, might be the best team in the country. Oregon, who after the regular season was the best team in the country, beat them by what, a point, was it? It was very tight. And then they had their dud game to Michigan. That's a kind of team that you'd like to see be able to get into a 12-team playoff, simply for the reason that that might be the best team in the country. And we need to see that play out through a playoff, right? Compare it to the NFL, for instance. Do we just assume the Chiefs are the Super Bowl champions because they had the best regular season record? No, of course we don't. Do we assume that it should just be the Chiefs, the Lions, the Vikings, and the Bills? Well, I think the Ravens would have something to say about that, right? So it's been nonsensical for the history of this sport to do it the way we've done it. And now, right away, we get an example of a team like Ohio State who's able to go through. And Ohio State's good enough that regardless of this bye, you know, holding Oregon back, which I think it did, it was a one-point game when they played in the regular season. They're on a neutral field. Ohio State probably wins that game, I don't know, 6 times out of 10. I mean, that's a guess, obviously. But, you know, it's a good example of why we needed to be doing this for a long time. Did anybody in the world give Arizona State a chance to take Texas to the brinks like that? I mean, Arizona State's a fourth down stop from being in the semifinal.
Yeah.
And we would not have known that in any year prior because they would have never had the chance to be there.
Yeah, I mean, I always relate it back to what other sports are doing. And I know that, you know, college football is different than, you know, anything else in the same way that the NFL is different than any other sport. But, like, look at a couple of years ago, and you're going to absolutely recall this and remember it, but Major League Baseball in the World Series a couple of years ago, your Rangers and the Diamondbacks, you know, were in the World Series. And weren't both of those teams wild card teams?
They were.
Right? They were wild card teams, and they both played for a World Series. And, you know, so I don't think anybody, you know, looking back on it, would say that neither one of those teams were deserving to play in the World Series. They made it into the playoffs. They were wild card teams. They may not have won their division, but they made it to the World Series, and they competed, and the Rangers won the World Series. And nobody is taking that away from them. It should be the same way in college football to an extent, where, like, you can consider some of these teams that are the lower seeded teams kind of as wild cards. They didn't win their conference championship.
That is what they are.
Basically, I mean, that's basically what they are. You know, they're at large bids, right, but they're basically wild cards. Right. You know, they didn't, you know, win their conference or whatever in some cases, but they still made it in. And, you know, in a couple of these teams, you know, they obviously won their first round CFP game and you know, they have a win in the 12-team playoff. And here they are competing against the top seeds that, you know, yeah, those top seeds earned byes. But at the end of the day, like, one team upsetting a team that had a bye is a coincidence. Two teams, maybe another coincidence. Three. You get to all four of them. Like, clearly that's the trend where you've got, what, 5, 6, 7, and 8 all making it to the semifinals of the CFP. It's clearly a trend. I mean, clearly shows that, you know, yeah, number one, the seeds from 5 through 8 are really, really good football teams. But number two, you know, I think that those teams that got the bye, 1 through 4, they clearly, you know, struggled with that time off.
There's no question. Do we get that exact same result if we don't have the length of time off? Do we get the exact same result of these four teams? I would suspect no. We certainly could, right? It absolutely could. Penn State's path was always the path that you wanted to have, right? Boise State left a lot on the table in their game. You know, Georgia had an injured quarterback, so Notre Dame's path was pretty good. Does Ohio State roll through the two teams they did? Possibly. And we saw how close to... So, yeah, we absolutely could have had the same result without the byes. But the byes had an impact, right? The byes, there's no... I mean, it's subjective, right? Because you don't convince me otherwise. It's fine, which is something we need to take a look at moving forward. Doesn't change the fact, though, that teams that are not considered in that top four. And look, the argument from college football crazies forever, supporters of the way it's done, is this waters down the regular season. And I would say the same thing I've always said. It absolutely does not water down the regular season. Were we any more or less excited because we saw Ohio State and Oregon play again? No, we weren't. We weren't any less excited when we watched it the first time that it could be a potential rematch. We weren't any less excited when we watched it the second time, right? It didn't have any bearing either way. We don't think about things that way in any of the other sports that we consume. All we want to do in those is find the best team. And we've never had the ability to truly find the best team in college football. Now, maybe the best team ended up getting there anyway. I agree. But we didn't. They didn't have to prove it the right way.
Well, and take a look at Notre Dame, for example. You know, the way that everything used to go in college football, Notre Dame would not have been in the mix whatsoever. You go all the way back to September. Northern Illinois beat Notre Dame, if you'll recall, in South Bend, beat them 16-14. Had it been like the old days, Notre Dame would have been totally out of the picture. Does anybody want to tell me that Notre Dame is not deserving to play for a national championship after what we saw yesterday and what we've seen down the stretch for them? Because they absolutely are worthy of playing and competing to go play for a national championship. But in the old way of doing things, that loss to Northern Illinois back in September probably would have disqualified Notre Dame from competing for a national championship. The way that things play out now, Notre Dame gets in. They win two games so far in this format. They've got one more to go, and then they can play for a national championship. It doesn't end their season prematurely. They're not overly penalized. Yeah, they had their work cut out for them after losing to Northern Iowa to start off the season. But how many times have teams had these high goals and aspirations and they stumble out of the gate and then they're just done. Like they're done in September and you don't even want to talk about them anymore. There's no reason to talk about them anymore. They're not going to be competing for a national championship. This opens the door for teams like Notre Dame to continue to have something to play for as the season goes on.
Every team that's in there right now had a reason to not get in typically, in typical fashion. Every single one of them. All of these teams, right?
Ohio State losing in the last second to Oregon. You know, like that was a huge
Ohio
matchup,
State lost
right?
to Michigan.
That's true. That's Ohio a, State yeah, lost a good to point. Michigan. I mean, you know, so, yeah.
That's a team that doesn't get in typically. And you know, you can say, well, they should have done it to get the... Yeah, but we want to find the best team at the end of the year, period. Like, we want to find the best team. Texas, after losing to Georgia in the SEC championship and losing to them twice in the same season, likely would not have made it in. Penn State likely would not have made it in. Maybe they do. They didn't play a conference championship game, right? Or they did. They did and lost, but they also had a loss to Ohio State, so they had two losses. So they're a fringe team, right? They're this fringy team. We don't know. So it's you just can't guess at it, right? Like the guesswork has always been so stupid. I mean, stupid. It's ridiculous that we've done it this way. And now we have this system in place where we can best determine our national champion. Even with the disadvantage of the long buys, we will find out who the best team in the country at the end of the season is when this is all said and done. And most years, I think we suspect we have done that, but there have been lots of years where we feel like maybe the best team didn't even get a chance to be there. Florida State won a power conference last year and went undefeated and didn't even get in because they had their quarterback injured. That's insanity. Rick says the best team normally doesn't win the NCAA tournament. I don't know that I would say normally. I would say often, sometimes, maybe. I wouldn't say normally. We don't know. Basketball is different than football, right? We see far more upsets in basketball than we do football. Football lends itself, I think, to the hardest or the most difficult thing. Like, if we're talking about upsets in sports, I think football is where we see it the least. It's hard. It is the hardest to have a true upset in football. We know in baseball, it's not hard at all. In basketball, especially in college basketball, it's hard, right? Because we see this all the time in conference play. Like how often do great teams struggle on the road in conference play, let alone go play a tournament in that format? It's why we love the chaos and the insanity of college basketball. But to Rick's point, yeah, I don't know that we always have the best team win. I cannot imagine a scenario where even a 12-team playoff, or if this ever goes to 16, and it probably will, having a team have the type of Cinderella run it would take to not be the best team in the country. That would be, like, you'd have to imagine Boise State. What would we have there? You'd have to imagine Boise State running through that and beating Penn State, then beating Notre Dame, and then let's say beating Ohio State, who's favored over Texas. If they did that and their only loss was a one-point loss to Oregon, I think you could say they're the best team in the country. But the thought of that is so unlikely, right? One time, maybe. Three times, doubt it. Doubt it. But who knows? That's why we play it. That's why we play it.
I don't think that my argument with the teams that all won in this round to move on to the semifinals, I'm not saying that any one of them are you know, objectively better than the four teams that got the bye, like the top four seeds. I'm not saying that, like, they're more, and when I say better, they're not more deserving to win a national championship than any of the teams that got a bye, but they absolutely deserve to be in the hunt. They absolutely deserved to compete for a national championship. And so regardless of all of the warts that this system has in year number one, in all of the issues that we've ran into and things that I'm sure are going to be adjusted and changed or whatever, you're never going to convince me that those teams, you know, whether we're talking Notre Dame or Penn State or Ohio State, whoever in those, you know, Arizona State, in those scenarios didn't deserve to be in the hunt, didn't deserve to compete for a national championship. Texas absolutely deserved to be in the hunt for that. They deserved to compete for that. And like we talked about before, all of those teams all had reasons where in the past system, in the past way things were done, they would have been out. It wouldn't have even been competing for a national championship. This makes the sport better. It's not a perfect system. I'm not sure that it ever will be perfect. Like, I don't think it ever will be, like, perfect,
teams,
right?
There's too many teams playing different schedules. It'll never be
perfect. But this is absolutely a better way to do things. And I would hope that we don't have massive wholesale changes moving forward. I hope that things get tweaked a little bit with the scheduling and the length of time and all of that. But, man, I think I'm more locked into it this year than I ever have been.
Me too. And it's just because there are more meaningful games, right? You're not trying to have me lock into a game that means nothing. The Sugar Bowl, if it doesn't help determine a national championship, great for those teams, great for that region. I'm not in. Like, it doesn't – I need it to mean something. Otherwise, it's no different than a preseason game. It's no different than an exhibition game. It is an exhibition game. Now – we have it mean something, and it's meant a whole lot more. It's been more fun, even with the margins. College, like, we act like, Tommy, in the regular season, college football doesn't lend itself to large margins anyway. Like, that, this isn't the NFL, right, where a spread rarely gets over 7 points. This is college football. We have big margins of victory all the time in college football. Whether we have 2 teams get in, 4 teams get in, 12 teams get in, doesn't matter. Regular season, conference championships, like, teams blow each other out all the time in college football. That's college football. So what I don't want to happen is everybody say, oh, these games haven't been that close. This is totally unnecessary and not worth it. Yes, it is. The teams that are doing the blowing out would not have even been there in the first place.
Yep.
So, like, it is necessary. This is how we best determine a champion. It's not perfect. It needs tweaks. It'll never be perfect, because none of these teams play the same teams, right? Like, they basically play in different leagues during the regular season and then all come together. That's why this has always been, that's why it's exciting. That's why this is going to be a blast. There will be years where the Big 12 will be better than the Big 10. There will be years where the ACC might be better than the SEC. Probably not. The SEC will usually be, but you get what I'm saying. There will be years where the Mountain West might be just as good as the Big 12.
You mentioned the SEC. The only team from the SEC that's competing in the semifinals played in the Big 12 a year ago.
Is the former Big 12 team, right? And again, what does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean a whole lot. It just means that there are 4 really good teams there that happen to play other places. And it's, you know, I don't take too much into that as far as what things are. Anywho, it'll be fun. We'll have it. All right, when we come back, we'll preview the Shockers a little bit. If you want to win some HTO, you can do that. Text keyword T to our text hotline right now, and you can win that HTOT root beer coming back on Monday. We'll be back. Shocker Talk next. Mention that HTO contest. That line to text the keyword T to is 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Again, free iced tea, free iced or hot coffee, including root beer, coming back Monday. 20357. Text the keyword T. Welcome back into Sports Daily. Jake Ballbrock, Tommy Caster here. We will make some football picks in our second hour, so make sure you stay tuned for that chance to win. Tommy, we get the Shockers this weekend out at Temple. Wichita State is ready to rock and roll here, I think, into the conference season. It wasn't overly impressive against Friends in the final little tune-up there, but they got it done. And now they go and they play a team in Temple who is, similar in their net ranking. I think they're like 124 and Wichita's 102 or something like that. So it's an opener I think we've all been waiting for in a big, big way. Wichita State started the conference season last year 0-6. And then I think it was something like 2-8 or whatever it was. It was not good. Now they go on the road, face a team who at check right now is a 1.5-point favorite. So the Shockers are slight underdogs, which is what I figured it would be, as Temple, again, is very similar in the net and at home. And here we go. Wichita State with a chance to, you know, maybe I'm the only one, but I've been waiting for this because it's been a promising offseason into a promising non-con, but it all matters what they do in the conference. We've set expectations for this program, and I think a lot of fans are that where you'd like to see them, and that's back near the top of the American Athletic Conference. I'm not saying they need to win it this year. It's probably an unreasonable thing to say right now, but they need to be near the top of it and certainly much better than they were a year ago.
We got an update about Ronnie DeGray, by the way, yesterday, I think it was, or maybe 2 days ago, from Paul Mills, that he's supposed to get a doctor's opinion, I think, here shortly. The plan, I think, is still for him to return by January 14th. But what was interesting was Coach Mills said that that was possible but not probable. So I don't know if we're going to see him, you know, push that out even further into the end of January, early February. You know, but the Shockers, I think, you know, considering that they've been without him and they've dealt with, you know, some other injuries and things like that throughout the course of the season, and they're still in a position to where we think that they could be, you know, competing in the top Absolutely. Part of the American Conference, even without Ronnie DeGray on the court, I think is a testament to just the overall talent that the team has.
Yeah, it is. And look, it's been awesome that they've been able to get to this point and look as good as they have without him. I was talking to TJ Cleland, friend of the program, one of the hosts here of the program, about this yesterday. I think I would tell you at this point, obviously Xavier Bell, the local talent, and his propensity to score has been an incredible development this season. But for me, the fact that Quincy Ballard has been able to play basically 25 to 30 minutes a game with DeGray out has been one of the great developments of this season. He's had a lot of injury issues over his career. You worried a great deal with DeGray gone because, you know, Mate is a very different kind of player, and he's not going to just step in and replace Ballard, at least effectively defensively. He does different things well. And so that was a big concern with DeGray because he can kind of play everywhere, but he really can back you up at the big. And Ballard has shown he can stay on the floor. That has been incredible to see. Now you're going to get into a situation, since this has happened, where DeGray comes back and you can probably play a lot of minutes with both of those guys on the floor. Wichita State's going to get a whole lot better defensively, I think, when that happens. And then they have a starting lineup. You know, you can mix and match it however you want. But you're going to have at least seven guys who are playing significant minutes, which is a good thing, and probably more like eight and maybe even nine. And now you're looking at depth. You're looking at all of these things. I just think, like, the arrow is definitely pointed in the right direction. They got, you know, they didn't play their best basketball against France. There's no doubt about it. They turned the ball over 18 times. I'm not sure if that's a season high, but I'm pretty sure it's a season high. I don't know why that is, but it's not a trend. So I'm not terribly concerned about it. But they're doing a lot of things that make you confident. You know, they're shooting the three, at least with confidence. And we've always known this isn't going to be a three-point shooting specialty type team. But they've got two guys who can, on a bad shooting night, get you points in Justin Hill and Xavier Bell. Both of those guys can score, even when the team's not shooting it particularly well, because both of those guys have become really, really good basket attackers who can get to the free throw line. That's a great thing to have in your back pocket. I think with DeGray, they'll get a whole lot better defensively. If you can be a good defensive team that can score without on a bad shooting night, I think that raises your floor a great deal. And I think Wichita State is that. I think that's what they are or can be.
Hasn't that been kind of the challenge, at least this year, has been just the, I don't want to use the word toughness because I feel like this team is tough. You know, watching them, I definitely get that feeling from them. But when they have struggled, they've been pushed around a little bit, and it's been off and on.
Well, because they're outsized without DeGray. I mean, they are. I get it. I understand why it's happening.
Yeah,
that's why DeGray's return is such a big deal.
Yeah, I think that you know, watching, I go back to the low point of the season. You know, had to have been, I would think, the Florida game. You know, when they were just completely out muscled and pushed around and out rebounded and out toughed and all of that. And I'm sure that that's, you know, what Paul Mills probably points towards, you know, as we get into conference play, is, you know, we've got to avoid that, because when that happens, it takes us out of our game. It takes us out of our rhythm, and we tend to struggle. We tend to not look good. We tend to get out of what we are known for. And so I actually, and I know we talked about it at the time when that happened and how bad of a loss that was for Wichita State. But I think that is, and there have been, you know, a couple of other moments that haven't been outstanding for Wichita State, for sure, where we've been concerned. And, you know, of course, losing to UMKC at home in a bye game, that was a low point too. But I'm kind of glad that those couple things happened, because I feel like Paul Mills is the kind of coach to be able to use that and get that once they get into conference play here starting on Monday, to be able to say, look, we cannot do these things. If we do these things, it's going to end up like what we saw against UMKC or against Florida when we lost by 40-some points. You know, so using them as motivational pieces or, you know, things to point to of where we don't want to be as a program, I think is going to be extremely important for them once they get into the grind of the American.
I agree. I don't know what to make of the UMKC game. I really don't. I don't know how that happens. I just don't. I don't take a lot from it. Florida's just a really good team. Like, every team has dud games. That doesn't concern
me. A 40-some point loss, though, I think at the time was concerning, regardless who the opponent was.
No. You never want to lose by that margin. But what I'm saying is, like, big picture, losing, getting blown out by a really good team in a holiday tournament, I don't know that means a great deal, big picture, if it's a one-off. UMKC is the one where you just sort of scratch your head at it. That should not happen. But it hasn't. Nothing has been like a trend from that stuff, right? Like, we know that there are a handful of guys on the team who can really shoot the three. That's a development for this program. We know that they have a really, really talented big who is finding ways to stay on the floor when they need him to the most. They have, you know, when they get DeGray back, between DeGray and Beverly, a couple of Swiss Army knives that you could really throw out anywhere. That's a great thing to have. We've known they have the experience, and now they have two scorers. We didn't know if they would have enough scorers. And we thought, oh, okay, maybe Corey Washington comes in and is a scorer because he's a shooter. Well, that's not, I mean, he's been fine, but what's happened is you have two attackers who are great scorers. And to me, like, that's confidence building, because there are going to be games where Wichita State does not shoot the ball well. Knowing they can get to the line with Hill and Bell at least raises that floor up. And the other thing that's really developed, and the other thing that will help them avoid the big letdowns, is they're shooting free throws at a really, really, really high clip. That helps any team. And it seems so elementary, but it's not always there. You go back to the Friends game. In a game where they weren't their best, let's be honest, they shot the lights out from the free throw line. Well, I say shot the lights out, 76%, but they get to the free throw line a ton. And those are floor-raising things. I feel like the floor is so much higher than it was a year ago. I still don't know that we know what the ceiling is, and we won't know until they start playing these conference games, but at least I feel much better in the floor of what Wichita State brings to the table each and every night.
I think that you have to. I mean, I think that overall you have to feel, you know, at least a little bit more, I don't know, I wouldn't use the word confident, but at least optimistic that, you know, the anomalies, the outliers, were the games that we talked about a couple of minutes ago. The dud games, the downward, you know, the games that you don't just want to forget about. But we also know that American Conference play a season ago for Wichita State was not kind to them, just at all. Like, it wasn't kind whatsoever. it's a different cast of characters, you know, in a lot of ways for this Shocker team getting into conference play. And I think that we've seen, in spite of the duds, in spite of the issues, we've seen enough flashes. And I think that you mentioned Xavier Bell a couple minutes ago. Seeing what he's been able to do, taking a step forward this season, I think will, you know, he's been there. He's gone through the gauntlet of American play a season ago. I think that that kind of experience is extremely important for Wichita State. And knowing that he has taken a step forward this year, I think they'll lean on him. But then you've got guys like Justin Hill and Corey Washington that have been major producers throughout the course of their careers anyway. And so I think having them and that experience to lean on in conference play, I'm not sure anybody, if you're predicting that Wichita State will suffer the same fate in American play as they did a year ago, you're not watching this team, because I don't think it's going to be that way, right? I don't think it's going to, barring like a major collapse or something, I don't think it's going to be that way this season for Wichita State.
No, I don't either. There's more depth, there's more confidence, there's more experience. It seems very unlikely. Then so the question becomes, well, where could they finish? We saw Memphis get a huge win in their opener. Memphis looks really good. I'm not going to say I think Wichita State's going to finish ahead of Memphis, but I think you can stop there with saying things like that, right? I think you can stop right there. I think they have a shot, have at least a shot to be anywhere else, right? Anywhere else in there behind Memphis doesn't seem totally wild and out of the question. If we go and look at the net right now, Memphis is at 30. The next highest ranked team is North Texas at 76. And then you have Wichita State at 102, Florida Atlantic's right there with them at 109, and then Temple. So if Wichita State can go to Philadelphia and look really good against Temple tonight, I don't think there's any reason why you can't say, well, yeah, they can compete with North Texas. North Texas 8-3. It's all on the table. It's all on the table, and we're so excited tonight to see them play. All right. We're going to take another break. We'll come back. Coming up in the next hour, we will make football picks. We got the full cast in for that. Looking forward to it. A lot to get to. It's Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Caster at Sports Daily. Coming right back.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, hour number two here for you on Sports Daily. It is Albrecht and Kester. We are excited to be with you. IHOP hotline is open for you at 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP, which is the official breakfast partner of Xbox. Come in and try the decadent fully loaded French toast only at IHOP. We will make football picks coming up in just a little bit in the next segment. Brandon Zenner, TJ Cleland, Paul Savage will join. We'll get you through. We'll actually have four NFL games this week, and then the two conference the two CFP semifinals, I should say, that will come in our pick segment today. All kinds of good stuff coming for you. I want to say thank you to Crestview Country Club for being a supporter of the program. The weather is cold, and that means it's a little tougher to get outside. But if you're a golfer, one great thing, and Tommy and I have pledged to do this at some point, we're going to get some wings, we're going to get some beers, and we're going to hit those Trackmans, those fancy, you know what I'm talking about. If you're a golfer,
the
you know
simulator.
What that means.
The indoor golf simulator.
Yeah, the simulator. Yeah. But I got some new clubs, Tommy. I got to figure out how to use those things. I'm going to go up there, and there's like a clinic. I got my goal in 25 is to be in the 90s consistently. That's my goal. Is that so hard to achieve? I don't think so. I think we can get there.
That's an admirable goal. I like that a lot. I think that's yeah. Good.
It'd mean I'd need to drop. Oh God. I'd need to drop some strokes. I'm going to need to drop some strokes to get there, but we're going to get there. That's the goal. And so I'm going to be utilizing those simulators and some of the golf clinics from the great pros there maybe throughout the winter here to get ready for a big spring of golf. So we appreciate their support of the program over at Crestview. We were talking before the break about the Shockers, the net rankings coming up. The Big 12, I don't know if the Big 12 has been as dominant as we would have anticipated, but inside, you know, the top 25, Tommy, you've got six Big 12 teams in the top 25 of the net rankings. You've got eight Big 12 teams inside of the top 30 of the net rankings and nine inside of the top 40. The Big 12 is just fine. The Big 12 is going to be insanely difficult. You look down at where Kansas State lands. They're down at 115, only ahead of Oklahoma State. So they've got something to prove here in the conference if they can finally get it together. So we'll see. But, you know, it's going to be a tough league. We're going to see great games night in, night out. We're going to see a lot of surprises and upsets. It's a deep league, which is perhaps now concerning when you consider Kansas is all the way down at number 19 in the net. This was the preseason number one team. Is it safe to say it's been a disappointing start to the season for Kansas? I mean, they have big-time wins over big-time programs, right? They beat Duke, who's third in the net. I don't know where Carolina is in the net off the top of my head, but they have big time wins. They beat Michigan State. Is it a disappointing start to the season for Kansas?
Yeah, I'm not willing to say that it is yet. You know, they beat North Carolina earlier this season as well. I mean, they've got some marquee victories in the non-conference. Of course, the way that you kick off conference play at home against West Virginia and the effort that they gave and the way that, you know, they fell behind by 20 points or whatever it was in the first half and had to claw back but lost that game to the Mountaineers. That's a disappointing start to Big 12 play for sure. But look, I think that, you know, we're one game into a 20-game Big 12 conference schedule. So there's a lot of time for the Jayhawks to get it figured out. But that being said, the Big 12 is always a grind. It just, that's the way that that conference is. And especially now that you add in, you know, some teams that, you know, are that make it even more difficult. You know, it's not going to be a cakewalk. I mean, that's for sure for Kansas. But I'm not willing to say that at 9-3 right now with wins against teams like Duke and Michigan State, that it's a disappointing start to the season for Kansas. But I do think that it can very quickly get out of control in conference play if they don't figure out a way to work around some of the deficiencies they've got.
I will agree. I don't think it's, it depends on the context of it. I think most people would say it's disappointing that they're number 20 in the net going into conference play. I think that's disappointing for sure. But at the same time, if you told me that Kansas would make it through this portion of the season with three losses, I don't think I would have been stunned to hear that, right? That wouldn't have been stunning news to hear. They lost two road games against teams that are, well, let's just look. Creighton's not great in the net right now. In Missouri, Creighton's like 65, Missouri's 48. So, you know, it's not like their losses are good losses. But they've got a lot of good wins. It's a weird year. Like, there's a lot of teams up there. Illinois has three losses. Houston has three losses. Gonzaga has four losses. Michigan, UConn all have three losses. Maryland, those are teams ahead of Kansas right now, all with three or more losses. So I agree that I wouldn't call it disappointing, but there's something that is alarming about it, right? It doesn't feel as good as I thought it would feel. Three losses don't surprise me all that much, but I maybe it's that we need to see something different from this team. I don't know what it is, but it's how about uneasy? It's an uneasy start through this point of the season. I think that's fair. Disappointing, probably unfair. Uneasy, probably very fair.
Well, and you know, had they beaten West Virginia, they'd be 10-2. Through one game of conference play, it'd be different. I mean, a one-point loss to the Mountaineers, you know, at home to kick off conference play. I mean, I think that definitely gets you into uneasy territory, and I'm okay with that categorization of the Jayhawks at this point because, you know, concerning, disappointing, whatever adjective you want to use there, I'm not at that point. But like I mentioned, you're kind of teetering. You're teetering a little bit. And keep in mind, the next game that the Jayhawks play on the road at UCF, and UCF is not a slouch team. Like they have played well to start this season. They're a good team coached by Johnny Dawkins, who's a really good college basketball coach, and it's on the road. They've got to shake off what happened in Allen Fieldhouse pretty quickly for that game on Sunday.
UCF right now is 65 in the net. So, yeah, again, a road game. That's going to end up being probably a quad two game. It's a good game. It's pretty wild, though. Like, I'm very unnerved. And I'll tell you the reason I'm the most unnerved. And I don't know if anybody even cares about this yet. I really will be really, really disappointed if Kansas is not playing in Wichita in March. That will be wildly disappointing for our city. And I want so badly for Kansas to turn this around, if for no other reason, that we need to have them playing in Wichita. K-State's not going to play in Wichita if they make the tournament. And it would have to be the most lucky thing of all time. Obviously, the Shockers aren't. They're not allowed to. It's got to be Kansas. And that's so important to our city, right? It's so important to putting on this great show. Like, there's this weird, weird pressure that they probably don't care about, but we do. I do. I feel it. I want that. It's going to be devastating if they don't play in Wichita. Like, that's kind of a part of the deal, right? And right now they're trending to not play in Wichita. They would not be rewarded as it currently stands with a trip to Wichita, I don't think, in the NCAA tournament. We need them to turn that around. We need that to be a no-brainer, right, that they get to play here.
Now, we're a long ways away from that.
I know.
Right.
Like, they're going to have to really improve their stand. What's that going to take? Probably a top two finish in the Big 12 to be in that position to be a one or two seed in the NCAA tournament? So that's a big ask right now, I think. Like, if we look at everything now, do I think any of the teams are currently ahead of them in the Big 12 stand in the net, I should say, in the Big 12 that they're not better than any of those teams? I don't. But they still got to get out on the court and win those games. I'm ready for Kansas to start playing its best basketball because it has not yet. It just hasn't.
Well, I disagree with that. I mean, I think that they played really, really good basketball to start off the season. There were a couple of those early games against the big-time opponents, the Duke game, things like that, where I'm like, okay, this is a team that when they
best game.
When they put it together, they do look like the number one team in the country. It hasn't been consistent. And I think that that's the thing that I'm hanging my hat on right now. And the reason why I'm not willing to cross that threshold from uneasy to concerned right now is because we've seen them do it. We saw them do it in a couple of the games against the top tier opponents in the non-conference, right? So the talent level is there. We know that the way that they can put it all together and when everything is clicking, be a really good and talented basketball team. So they've done it before. It's not like we're sitting there waiting like, we haven't seen it yet. No, we have. We have seen it yet. They just need to get it back. And so to me, that's not a lack of skills. It's not a lack of talent. It's not anything that like, remember a year ago, it was all about the lack of depth and how there was nobody that could offensively take a game over for Kansas. It's different this year because we've seen it. We've seen it a few different times. So for me, it's a lot of the intangibles, and that's what Bill Self has talked about over the last few days, ever since that loss, was the intangibles in place and the focus and the discipline and things like that. They just need to get that back, and I think they'll be okay because we've seen it before from them.
I think the Duke game was a great game. I think that's a long way from their ceiling, and I hope that they can get there. I think their ceiling is much higher than even the way they played in that game. But we'll get into that maybe as we make our way through, certainly after we see the games this weekend. When we come back, football picks. Don't go away. Sports Daily coming at you.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Hey, sports bettors, ready for some picks destined to fail? It's time to hear what the Sports Daily staff thinks of the weekend games.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Hey, if you're on your work and want to keep listening to Sports Daily, even after you park the car with the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com, you can just download the app, visit Odyssey.com, search for KFH, download the Odyssey app today to get started. You can hold us accountable through the Odyssey app because you can go back and listen to these picks in our podcast form. And I would invite you to do that last week because Jad and I haven't talked, but I think I had a good week. I don't know how everybody else did. I don't know where Paul and TJ sit in their neck and neck race to the top, but how did it look last week, Jad?
Well, things actually looked pretty good. One of the things that happened is almost everyone had a really good week. In fact, Jacob, you're 4-2. Put you second to last.
Congratulations!
I love that.
Hey, yeah, baby, good.
But Paul, you're 1-5. Puts you in last place.
I saw this kind of coming. By the way, Jacob, you remember the comments you said? Don't play it safe. You play it the way you know.
That's
and I
right.
could
you play
I
it
could
to win.
Play to win. We'll try to win by a nice amount, but. Gosh, it's not working out so good for me, is it? You know, this is going to be a three-peat. This is supposed to be my three-peat.
Are we seeing a Paul Brandon Staley Savage situation here?
Yeah,
is he fumbling it away in the fourth quarter?
Are we?
Well, yeah, you have. I mean, TJ's in the lead by a game now.
Let's go, TJ.
Here we go.
Let's rock and roll.
Here we go.
Hey, Jad, how did I do in the week? I think I had a pretty good week.
You went 5-1 as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you, TJ... Oh, no, you and TJ were the only ones that went 5-1. Brandon, you and Jacob went 4-2.
We've been paying it. Where is the, what's the overall standing? We've only been paying attention to the top. Where does everybody else stand?
Okay, well, I can break this down for everybody. TJ's in the lead, 56-49. Paul is a game behind at 55-50. Let's see, who would be after that? Real quick count, looks like Tommy's next. Tommy, 53-52. Jacob, 51-54. Brandon, 45-60.
So, you know, I think Tommy and I are still in the mix there. Brandon's got the most work to do.
It's all about how you finish. We're coming on strong the last couple of weeks.
That's right. Running out of time, but we'll get to it. All right, let's make sure we've got enough time. We mentioned those hard breaks now, so we're going to make sure we get all of this in. We've got six games. We only have two college games because that's where we are in the college football season, and four NFL games. We'll actually start with the NFL because they come first, and we'll start and try to get in the handful of games that have some meaning or value this week. And it starts with the Bengals and the Steelers. The Steelers are 1.5-point home underdogs. Tommy, you won the week last week. 1.5-point home underdogs. We know you hate the Bengals, but can they go to Pittsburgh and win and keep their hopes at a playoff spot alive?
Yeah, they can. And I think that they will. I'm not a Bengals fan, but I mean, I definitely think that they'll win by probably a touchdown, if not more. It's kind of up in the air about the status of the starters with Pittsburgh anyway. The Bengals have more to play for than Pittsburgh does. I think that the Bengals will win this game. I also think, though, that Miami is going to beat the Jets, and so it's going to be all for naught for the Bengals to make the playoffs, but I am going to take Cincinnati, and I'll lay those points.
Yeah, they don't know that, obviously, before they play. The Jets are. We're not picking that game, but that's only a one-point spread, Miami and the Jets, which is sort of interesting a little bit. TJ, where are you at with Bengals-Steelers? Bengals favored on the road.
You know me, every single time I make a pick, it's always for the most chaos possible. And the most chaos possible here is the Bengals somehow finding a way. So they're covering the spread on Sunday or Saturday, whenever the games are nowadays. I never even know. Bengals going to cover against the Steelers.
I think that puts me next. I'll take the Bengals as well. If we knew Pittsburgh was going to bring everything they had, I think this is a bad spot for the Bengals. But without knowing that, I'll take them. We'll see what Pittsburgh's able to bring. We'll see if Burrow can survive in that environment. I don't even know what the weather forecast is there. But yeah, Cincinnati has everything to play for. I'll take the Bengals. Brandon?
The Steelers are playing for a trip to go to Houston instead of Baltimore, which I think is very advantageous to everybody. But yeah, I just really like how the Bengals are playing. They're playing well as of late. Not going to fade them at this point. Give me the Bengals.
And Pittsburgh plays Baltimore well, but yeah, I think you'd rather play Houston. Paul, there's a chance for an island out there. You can take it with the home dogs here, a playoff team that is in position to get ready for things.
You know something? I'm tempted. I mean, I am tempted. I really am because I was going to take the Bengals for the exact same reasons that all you guys just mentioned. I was going to take them. But you know something? I'm here to win. I'm here to win this thing. I got a chance for an island. Oh, you wipe that smirk off your face there. I'm telling you, TJ, wipe that. Come on now. Wipe that grin off. I'm taking the Steelers. Now you can put it on.
The Steelers play their starters. If the Steelers play their starters,
I'm gonna take the Steelers.
It's not a good matchup for Cincinnati. All right, TJ, let's go to the next one. Somebody got to be playing for something for us to pick it. Saints at Bucks. Bucks are 13.5 point favorites, but the Bucks have to win. Bucks have to win to get into the postseason. So basically, you know, I think everyone thinks they'll win, but are they going to win by two touchdowns, which is always difficult in the NFL?
All I hope is that Paul goes full fade of me again, and we can keep building this up. That's what I'm hoping he does here. In this one, I'm going to take the Saints to cover that number. You know, obviously, we talk about in the NFL how big these numbers get and how hard it is to cover those spreads against other NFL teams. Obviously, the Bucs have something to play for. I can see a good game here, especially with all stuff going on in New Orleans. I think the Saints want to, you know, make a statement for New Orleans. So I'm going to pick them to cover this spread.
It is a big number. But I do like the Buccaneers. I think the Baker Mayfield thing is awesome. Mike Evans has some history on the line. They've got to get there. I think the Saints are just outgunned, and I think the Saints, the things that they do well or can do well, the Buccaneers defend well. So I think the Saints offense is really going to have a hard time in this game. I'll take the Buccaneers to cover the number. I'll lay the 13.5 reluctantly. Brandon?
The Saints stink. I don't know what they do well. I'd like the Bucs minus 13, even if they weren't playing for much, and they're playing for a division. So give me Tampa Bay.
All right. Then we go to Paul. What do you think here? We've got a split decision here, so you're not going to get an island. Buccaneers, two touchdown favorites.
Well, you know, I hate to bring this up, but it's something you got to bring up and factor in. And that is, we always look at the ability to be able to concentrate on a game, to focus on a game. There's a lot of things going on in New Orleans right now. A lot of tragedy, a lot of hurt going on in that town. And as much as I'd like to see the Saints bounce into this game and get a win for the city, I don't know that they will. Partly because, guys, there's been some distractions in New Orleans this last week. And it hurts to see this thing for any city in America, but I'm telling you right now, it is a factor. I don't like making this a factor, but it is a factor because I think there's going to be a focus problem for the Saints, always thinking about what's going on in New Orleans. I'm going to take the Bucs. Now, I'm not comfortable with 13.5 points. That might be the biggest spread we've had all year in the NFL.
We don't usually get them that high. It's interesting, Tommy, because New Orleans has a history of a city of rallying. Well, Hurricane Katrina, some other things that have happened to that city. Can they rally enough here? I think we will see an inspired effort. I think we will see a lot of positive emotion out of that game. However it ends up, it will be good to see the Saints step into that role that they've all stepped into historically for a city that's dealt with tragedy. But when we talk about football, that's not a very good roster, and it's going up against a team with everything to play for. You comfortable with 13.5 points?
Well, keep in mind, I mean, this game is not in New Orleans. If it was in the... But, you know, if it was in New Orleans, I would maybe have that be a little bit more of a factor in the game. Here's what's crazy. This tells you how weak the slate is on Sunday in the NFL. Fox is sending Kevin Burkhardt and Tom Brady to cover this game. Like, Tom Brady is going to be calling a Spencer Rattler game for the 5-11 Saints, if that tells you anything about the way that the slate is during the day on Sunday. This is Tampa Bay's game. I know it's a big spread. Baker Mayfield has been great, and they're playing for the division. I don't think the Saints are going to have an opportunity to prevent them from doing that. I think the Bucs win, and I think they win big. I'm going to take Tampa Bay, and I'll lay the points.
It is strange to have the Sunday regular windows not feature
bad.
Much meaningful action. but that's it. Look, that's just the way it goes. And we'll get to the most meaningful game in just a little bit. Before we do that, though, Chiefs Broncos. I think I'm first with Chiefs Broncos. I told you this yesterday. I think Carson Wentz can beat the Broncos. I'm not going to say the Broncos are frauds or aren't good or anything, but I'm going to say that the Chiefs backups aren't terrible. And it's not a preseason game. These are NFL caliber players now. And 10.5 points? I mean, the Chiefs have to play somebody. They got to put somebody out there, and I think Carson Wentz has a ton to play for, actually. So I'll take 10.5 points. I might put something on the money line just for fun in this game because I think they can beat Denver, but I definitely think they can cover 10.5 points. Brandon?
Yeah, the thing is, Carson Wentz is going to be thrown to Nico Remigio and Carson Steele for the most part. I just think Denver has too much to play for. They win and they're in. The Chiefs, I've been in this situation before, and there's not much to play for. I'm just going to ride Denver.
Yeah, but Remigio, what did they run out there? Three receivers? They only carry, what, six, seven? Like, they got to play somebody. Noah
Justin
Gray.
Ross, is he going to play this weekend?
I don't know. I don't know how that works, but it will be fascinating. I just think they've got a great coach, great coaches. Carson Wentz isn't a nothing burger. Like, I don't know. It will be – I'm actually pretty interested in the game, like far more than I normally would be, just because I think they've got a chance. Tommy?
I don't want to say no-brainer, but the spread is big enough, and I know it's Carson Wentz, but, I mean, it's 10.5, and I think it's going to be the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs will cover that number. I don't think it's going to be super difficult for them to cover that number. Do they win the game? I don't know. I mean, I could see the Broncos winning, but I do think that the Chiefs, in a double-digit spread, even with Carson Wentz starting the game, give me the Chiefs. I'll take the points.
All right, Paul, where are you at with this one?
Well, I'm trying to figure out what direction TJ's going to go in. I think he's going to talk about, well, the Chiefs and even Carson Wentz is going to be fine. And I know that this is a team that is fundamentally better than the Broncos. But my prediction is that TJ takes the Chiefs because he's not going to allow you guys to say, oh, there's TJ playing it safe again. There he is. Savage takes the Broncos, and he takes the Broncos. Well, I'm taking the Broncos, TJ. Let's see what kind of man you are.
He got him on tilt, TJ. He's not busy. He's just worried about TJ and not the game, which is correct.
Well, Paul, I wish I would have written down what you just said so I could have sat here and said, I'm picking the Chiefs because all of you are going to say that TJ's playing it safe and picking the Chiefs. I was going to pick the Chiefs anyways. I'm in the same boat as Jacob. I'm utterly just fascinated with this game. This may be the most excited I've been for a Chiefs game all year just to see what happens because
you're really a sicko.
Somebody has to play, and somebody's going to play well, and I want nothing more than a Carson Wentz redemption line. Give me the Chiefs covering the spread, maybe to win.
Oledukin's going to play a half. Do we not remember
that's
that?
That's fine. Maybe it's a Chris Oledukin redemption story.
Yeah, it's the defense, and is Denver really that good offensively? Because, at some point it's Spags. They're going to blitz like crazy, I think. I don't think they're just going to play. Again, I don't think they're going to. The Chiefs are treating this like a preseason game. I think they're going to run their stuff. And I think Spags is going to blitz. And we're going to see if a rookie quarterback can go and beat the Chiefs by more than 10 points, basically. And it's a fascinating one. Brandon, we're going to let you lead this one off. Our resident Vikings fan. No respect. The Rodney Dangerfield of the NFL. 3-point dogs on the road to Detroit. I gotta think you're taking your Vikings here.
I'm not just taking the Vikings on the spread. I'm taking them to... They're going to be, by the end of Sunday, they're going to have the number one seed in the NFC North. They're going to have the NFC North title as well. And it's going to be a nice weekend of just watching football. No Chiefs next weekend. No Vikings next weekend. They're going to be on a bye. That's because they're beating Detroit. And for the crowd that's listening, I have my Justin Jefferson jersey on now. So.
There it is. You knew it was coming. Tommy, you're second on this one. At least we get one high-end, two great teams, everything on the line game this weekend, and they put it in primetime. It's going to be awesome.
I like the Vikings in this game. I know it's in Detroit, and I know the Lions are favored. Something about the Vikings just tells me they're going to win this game. Not only are they going to cover, I think they're going to win outright and spoil what the Lions want for the one seed. So give me the Vikings.
Paul, we're going to make TJ go first here because we did it the opposite last time. So TJ, Vikings, Lions, where do you stand on this one?
Well, if you want me to play the full tilt game, I know how much Paul Savage loves Dan Campbell.
You know, I saw him on Hard Knocks. I don't know if you guys knew that or not.
I don't remember the name of the show.
Paul. Okay. My bad. I forgot about that. Give me the Vikings in this one. Absolutely. I really, really want. I talked about Carson Wentz redemption story. I want Sam Darnold to be the franchise franchise quarterback, whatever that's going to take. And I assume getting the one seed is going to help with that. I think they're going to beat the Lions next week, this week.
I am fascinated by this matchup. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see Minnesota try to defend what has become a pass-heavy, in some ways, Lions attack. I can't wait to see a just smashed-up Vikings defense. Lions defense try to stop the high-flying Vikings offense. I don't like doing this. This is crazy. I'm going to give Paul an island here because I know he's going to take Detroit. But I'm going to take the Vikings. It's just because the points. I'm just going to take the 3 points. I think this game is tight. I don't know if I think the Vikings are going to win or not, but I'm just going to take the 3 points because I do think these are awesome teams and tight matchup, divisional game that should be a lot of fun. So I'm just going to take the points too. So there it is, Paul. You and Dan Campbell can go, you know, bite kneecaps together and ride off into the glory and the sunset because you have a chance at a Lions Island. Go ahead and take it.
I think I'm going to go ahead and take it, partly because Dan Campbell is my man. I like Dan Campbell. Throwback coach. You know, there's nothing wrong with being a throwback coach in today's NFL. Everybody, you know, you don't have to wear pedal pusher pants like they do in Miami to be a man's man. And this is a man's man. Dan Campbell is my man. I'm going with the Lions because, fellas, they win this game outright by 9 points.
Paul, what show was Dan Campbell on again?
That was Hard Knocks on HBO. And let me just tell you, it was a great show. Changed the way I feel about the Lions. Really did.
It was like 6 years ago.
Well, I know it was. It is getting old, isn't it?
It felt like there's going to be a lot of fourth downs going. So here's what we're going to do. We will not have time yet to pick these two college games. So let's do this. We'll sit here for about another minute or so. And then we'll pick the college games on the other side. For this NFL weekend, we get ready for it. We'll have all that for you. So we'll keep everybody here through a break. Do want to tell you that you can get in touch with the show, as always, on our video platforms, on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. You can do that always with us. Leave your comments there on the Odyssey app. You can also leave us voice messages on the Odyssey app, which is easy to do. There's a little microphone. So the show will get podcasted. Quick reminder, we shift over next week to Morning Drive. We're going to grow the show 7 to 9. Things for Sports Daily start at 7 a.m. beginning Monday. And for those of you that listen to us 9 to 11, again, nothing changes. You're still going to catch us in those same hours. We're just going two more hours. We told you yesterday, all of our insiders are coming with us on that. Brandon, TJ, Paul, everybody's making the move. That's no big deal. Nothing changes except you get more Sports Daily. And we hope that you're excited about that. So when we return on Sports Daily, we have two more games to pick. We've got two more college football games. They play them on like Thursday and Friday. So we're going to pick them now. And then next week, we'll probably just pick all the NFL playoff games. So we're going to pick them now. You've got Penn State and Notre Dame. You've got Texas and Ohio State. Those are the two games. We're going to pick them on the other side. When we return, Sports Daily, coming right back. All right, welcome back in, everybody. CFB quarterfinals in the books. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster, Paul Savage, Brandon Zinner, TJ Cleland in as we make picks on this Friday, as we always do, taking you into the home stretch, really, of the college football season. So we're excited about that. That should be a lot of fun. And we're ready to do it. We're going to take you to the semifinal games now, which feature Penn State, Notre Dame, Texas, and Ohio State. So let's do this. Let's start with Penn State and Notre Dame. Notre Dame right now is a 1.5-point favorite in that game, Tommy. The Irish have looked solid, really, all the way through this thing. They seem to be one of the hotter teams in the country. I do think we're all sort of sleeping on Penn State, though. Are you riding the Irish here? Or can the Nittany Lions and James Franklin finally get the big one?
Yeah, I'm going to ride Notre Dame on this. I feel like the momentum is carrying them, and it's nothing against Penn State. I think Penn State is a fine football team. They clearly deserve to be in the semifinals. But after watching what Notre Dame did to Georgia, and it really wasn't, I don't feel like it was because Georgia was shorthanded at quarterback. I just feel like Notre Dame was the better football team. I'm going to go ahead and continue to ride with the Irish. I'm going to lay the 1.5. I think that they'll be competing for a national championship.
Oh, Paul, the Irish have been a great story. You know, it's hard to erase the loss that they had early in the year, but boy, that seems like a lifetime ago. Where do you stand on this one?
Well, I got you, and particularly, wasn't it Northern Illinois was who the loss was to?
Correct.
That's what's even crazier, isn't it, if my memory serves correct. But anyway, I was stunned at the physicality of Notre Dame. I mean, I've watched them on and off all year. Georgia, if I was to ask you, give me a couple, two or three teams, the most physical teams on both sides of the ball in the trenches, I think you guys would have all said Georgia. You might have said Texas as well, and Texas was physical. But I'll tell you what, it's hard to sleep on Notre Dame at this point, but I am going to sleep on them. I'm going to take Penn State, and I think Penn State has a way. I was impressed with them as well. I think TJ's probably going to take Notre Dame, so I'm taking Penn State. I'm not falling down on this deal. I'm taking this serious. My mission is to three-peat on Sports Daily Friday Football Picks. I'm taking Penn State because you know something? I'm a fighter.
Well, then we'll see if TJ, as a fighter, is going to take the Fighting Irish here. TJ, where do you like this one?
As I'm listening to Paul list off all those reasons, I was thinking in my head, God, I really don't want to pick Penn State, but made it easy on me. You picked Penn State, so give me the Irish.
All right.
I picked for me.
All right. There it is. Brandon, we've no island here. Are we sleeping on Penn State? Like, of these four teams, Penn State's talked about the least, for sure. And they've looked impressive in the playoff.
Yeah, they have, but Notre Dame is going to be by far the toughest team they have played. TJ and I talked about it on Sports Daily on Monday. I picked Notre Dame to get to the national championship, so I'm going to keep riding with them. I love this Fighting Irish team.
All right. That leaves just me, right?
That's right.
I grew up an Irish fan. There's no chance I'm picking Penn State here. I want to see if Notre Dame can get it done. My entire life as a kid, I watched every year and hoped that Notre Dame, they never could. So maybe it's now when I, you know, pay far less attention to them that they're able to get that done. I'll take the Irish here. They are playing really well. I do think, though, like, Penn State's not getting talked about. They've been really good in the playoff, and they've had that path, but give me the Irish. So there's one. Here's the other. Texas, Ohio State. There are a lot of people, Paul Savage, crowning Ohio State as the champion already. They're 6-point favorites against the Longhorns. You buying that?
I don't know, because here's the thing. I had Oregon last week, and I thought to myself, I got the number one seed in the entire tournament, and I'm on an island with Oregon? How sweet is that? But it didn't work out too good for me, did it? It did not work out at all, as a matter of fact. Now, here's the one thing about Ohio State. I couldn't tell how physical they were and how good they really were, because the first half of that game was such a big blowout. I mean, it turned out, you know, what, 34-0 before Oregon even sniffed a score? I'm telling you, that was crazy. I did not see that coming. So I know Ohio State's pretty good. But on the other hand, let me point out that Texas in the first half against Arizona State was as physical as anybody as I've seen all year long. And I thought Texas was impressive. Now, they let up off the gas on for a little bit, but I thought Texas was impressive. If Texas plays an entire football game, Texas beats Ohio State outright, let alone getting 6 points. So I'm going to go ahead and take the 6 points, and I'm going to go ahead and take Texas, and I'll bet you a dollar to a donut I'm on another island, because I know you guys have been drinking the Kool-Aid on this one.
Nah, you're not going to be on an island. I'm not taking Ohio State. They're getting too much love. Who's their coach? Who's their coach?
Ryan Day.
That's right.
He won a playoff game.
That's a little too much credit for me. I think Texas is good, guys. I think Texas is really good. I think Ohio State is really talented. But I think Texas is really talented. You kidding me? I'll take the Longhorns in 6 points. I'll just take 6 points. But I think Texas is getting overlooked a little bit here. And let's not forget what happened to Ohio State when they played a really good defense in Michigan. They're about to play a good defense again. Maybe not as good. Texas, you know, kind of been a letdown a little bit defensively in the postseason, but they can score quick just like Ohio State can score quick. Give me the Longhorns. Give me the 6 points. Tommy?
I think that the bottom line is that Texas has been playing with fire a lot lately. And it's eventually going to burn them. And I think it's going to burn them in this game against Ohio State. I've liked the Longhorns all year, but there's just been something about at least the last few weeks when they've not been able to really put their foot on the throat of their opponents and put teams away. And because of that, and because of the fact that Ohio State is trending up and what we saw out of the Buckeyes and Will Howard, you know, in that matchup against Oregon, I'm going to go ahead and ride Ohio State. I'm going to lay those points. I think it'll be Ohio State and Notre Dame in the championship.
That's what most people think, Brandon. Are you with most people?
Also on Monday, I picked Ohio State to go to the national championship. So here we are. I'm going to keep riding Ohio State. I do think it is fascinating how the seeding has worked out. All of these teams, the top four teams, all lost. 5, 6, 7, 8, all won home games the week prior. It's been fascinating to see how the CFP has worked out. But yeah, I think it's going to be Notre Dame and Ohio State, both covering spreads and both getting to the national.
Oh, TJ, you Paul went Texas. Are you just going to keep playing contrarian?
First of all, I got two things to say. First of all, I don't think Paul watched the games because he picked the team that was a 14-point favorite and squeaked by in double overtime. And then he picked against Notre Dame, who just dominated Georgia. So he's picking Texas. Second of all, you brought up Texas playing with fire. Their best win this year was against a team that just lost the Las Vegas Bowl, Texas A&M. They kind of had an easy schedule, and not a lot of people talked about it. They lost to Georgia twice. Now they're with a really good Ohio State team. Ohio State just beat a really, really good defense in the number one team in the country and blew them out, and I think they're going to do it against Texas too. They're the national champions, and they're favored by 6 for a good freaking reason, because they're really, really good.
All right, you say Texas has played a weak schedule. Let's just take a look at that real quick. They won big at Oklahoma.
Well, that's okay.
They won at College Station. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just looking here. What's really great about this? You know what would make this a lot easier? These two teams had a common opponent. Oh wait, they do. Who was it that Ohio State lost to there? That real dud game? No, the real dud game there.
The Michigan game.
That's right. They did lose to Michigan. If only Texas had played Michigan on the road at Michigan this year, maybe we'd have. Oh, that's right. They beat Michigan by 19 points this year. So if we want to go back and look at schedules, let's look at the common opponent there. Ohio State's playing much better. I don't want to give too much credit to Texas here, but come on.
Let's
now.
pull up the box score from August, why don't we?
Or we could look at the team that they both played and see how they both fared, right? Like, we can talk about A&M all we want. Ohio State never played A&M.
If we're doing that, BYU beat SMU. Why aren't they in the playoff?
Because SMU lost to Penn State? I don't know. It is what it is. Look, I don't want to sit here and defend Texas, but we're not going for Ohio State, are we? Are we that mad at Texas for leaving the Big 12?
It's not about that. I think Ohio State's a better team than Texas is.
I think they might be. Where's Vince Young when we need him, right? That's it. That's the picks. That's our college picks. That's our pro picks. You've got them all there on the Odyssey app to go back and visit. Brandon, TJ, thanks. Hope you guys are ready to wake up early each and every week next week. It's going to be early.
Can't wait. Get ready for it. If you think that these picks are enthusiastic now, wait till we're making them at 8 in the morning.
It's going to be wild. That's for sure. Paul's probably up early. You know, you go to bed at 8:30 at night.
That's right. Yeah, and then I go up, chop a little wood, get it ready for the morning and start the fire. Yeah, that's right.
Milk the cows, yep. Slop the pigs,
yep, that's it.
Feed the chickens.
All right, Brandon and TJ, we'll see you next week. One other quick topic that I want to hit before we say goodbye today. Saquon Barkley's not going to play, Tommy, in the Philadelphia game, which means he's not going to break Eric Dickerson's record. I totally agree with Philadelphia on this. I got no issue with it. And now we can at least avoid the conversation – Saquon got to play the extra game to break the record, right? Like, this wasn't like when Adrian Peterson came up 9 yards short, right, in whatever year that was. Like, Saquon, if he broke the record, we were going to have to talk all the time about, oh, does he deserve it? And, you know, all these things that go into it. But now we don't have to worry about it. And that was the right thing to do, in my opinion, is to sit him. He's everything for the Eagles. So I got no issue with it. And he's just not going to have the record. But was he really going to have the record anyway?
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I mean, he's had a phenomenal season, and you don't, you know, you can't take anything away from him for that. He's been fantastic. And so I've got no issue with the Eagles sitting him in this meaningless game for them, you know, and the opportunity to have him be fresh and healthy for the playoffs, I'm good with.
Yeah, Jacob, as a matter of fact, if you don't mind me throwing in on this one, I would have chastised the Eagles if they did play him.
Yeah.
So it's just total opposite of what you're saying, and it's exactly right. But listen, I would have said, what is wrong with the Eagles? Why are you doing this? That record is not that important. Being ready to play into the playoffs, how about that for being important?
Hey, before we wrap up the show, I want to really quickly jump in here. Our Friday Fit is happening again today. I know, Paul, you've been admiring my clothing from my friends over at 3570 Golf Company. Yeah. This is the Caw Polo, by the way. It's got little imprints of the state of Kansas on it, which is just awesome.
I love it.
I'll let you get a closer look, Paul,
but
once we go to break here.
I love the look.
It's so great. We really want to thank them for supporting the show. You can get your hands on that apparel by going online to 35x70golfco.com. Use the promo code Tommy for 10% off, and we really do appreciate that.
Looking good, though, Tommy.
Thank you.
Appreciate them, their support of the program. They're also carrying with us into, we'll call it our new year, even though it's on January 6th. Our new year is coming with a big change here on Sports Daily that we're really excited about. So, you know, one more time on Monday, you can get us 2 hours earlier. Can still catch us 9 to 11 like you always have. Now you can get more Sports Daily, though, starting at 7 a.m. It's been a while since this show's been on that early, but that's what we're going to do Monday. We appreciate everybody's support in that transition. Here we go. It's going to be a blast. Enjoy the football this weekend. Enjoy the basketball this weekend. We will be back bright and early Monday morning to talk about it all on Sports Daily.